This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Praise God. I'm going to combine, we're still on the Fruit of the Spirit series, but I'm going to connect that to healing because normally I like to preach on healing on the first Sunday of each month because, you know, if you live this life, if you're living in this life and you're living in a natural body, you're going to be attacked every once in a while. Amen. And we're going to be attacked and we're going to be dealing with different stuff at different times of our lives. And we're going to have to learn to stand in faith. Amen. Against the attacks of the devil. And just because we're saved doesn't mean that we're not going to go through anything. Amen. You're saved, but that doesn't mean that you're exempt from going through stuff. You know, don't think that you're not going to go through anything being saved, but you can go through it with Jesus. That's the difference. Whenever we go through something, we go through it with Jesus. So we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit and your calling. You know, God calls us to be saved and then he calls us to a church. Then he calls us to work in church, to be a part of the church. Amen. The dream team. But he's calling each one of us individually to be good fruit bearers. Do you believe that today? And God wants us bearing good fruit for him. Do you believe that today? And I like what it says in John 15:16. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So God chose you, amen? And he appointed you that you should go bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And I love this part here. Because when you're bearing good fruit for God, guess what's going to happen? Your prayers are going to be answered. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. When you're bearing good fruit for God, it says here, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. That's connected to bearing good fruit. So, my goal in this series is to get you guys walking the abundant life. Amen. See, Jesus said, "I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And so really, every Christian should be walking the abundant life. And so walking in the Spirit and bearing good fruit will produce the abundant life in our lives. You believe that today? And so God wants us bearing good fruit. My question to you today, what do you need? Do you need anything from God? Do you need some healing? Well, God has it for you. Do you need a financial breakthrough? Well, God has it for you. Do you need maybe a restoration in a relationship? Well, God, it's all in the Bible and God has it for you. There's nothing that God will hold back from you if you just believe and have some faith. Amen. Somebody say, get some faith. Or somebody say, get your faith on. So you got to get your faith on. You got to start believing God. Amen. And God grants uncommon favor with those that are walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to say this. You got to qualify to walk in God's blessings. Some people say, what, Pastor? I just thought you can just be saved and then live any way you like. And then the blessings of God just comes on your life. It doesn't work that way. You just don't get saved and live any way you like for God's blessings to come on your life. You got to live according to God's ways and God's will. You got to live according to his rules. You just can't live any way you want and expect God's blessings. You got to qualify. See, most people think, oh, no, he's not a respecter of persons. That means he blesses everybody. Yes, but he qualifies those he blesses. Can I give you an example? He can't bless somebody that doesn't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. He can't give them the blessings of heaven if they're not willing to bow their knee and ask Jesus to come in their lives. He can't unlock the blessings of heaven until you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You got to do something. So a lot of times we're waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's waiting on us to move towards him, and he moves towards us first, and then we reciprocate and move back towards him. So I believe that, God has the power to deal with any sickness, any infirmity, anything that might be hindering you in this life. Amen? And you, some of you might be dealing with some infirmities or some sickness, and you may have been dealing with it for a while. But I'm going to say this, it's subject to change. And so don't believe what you have today, you're always going to have it. Don't buy into that kind of thinking. Well, the doctor said, once you get this, you will always have it, and you always have to be on medication, and you're going to always have to medicate it. No, meditate it. What, Pastor? Meditate it. Don't medicate it, meditate it. What does that mean, Pastor? That means get the Word of God and start meditating on the promises of God until you move that thing out of your life. So you can you meditate more, you medicate less. Yeah. Can I get a witness in the house today? And medicine is not designed to heal you. It's designed just to push off the symptoms, and it helps you cope with it. I'm saying this today. I'm tired of coping. I don't want to be coping with stuff in my life. I want it out of my life. I'm going to say sickness is not supposed to be a part of your life. Amen. Weakness is not supposed to be part of I'm tired. That's not supposed to be a part of your life. You're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But you got to get firm in your faith and believing God that He's strengthening you. Some of you got to get loud in your faith. Some of you are way too quiet, way too reserved in your faith. And you got to get loud in your faith. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And so there's two main scriptures before I go into my message that I want to focus on in receiving the blessings and the promises of God. Number one, James 4:7 is a powerful scripture. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is the problem with some Christians it's terrible. Some churches preach that sickness is from God. Some churches preach that. We don't preach that, and we don't believe that, and I don't believe the Bible bears that out. We know that everything that kills, steals, and destroys comes from Satan. That's what Jesus said. If it comes to steal, kill, and destroy, it comes from Satan. And then Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Right? And the Bible also says all good gifts comes from God, the Father of lights, where there's no variable of turning, shadow of turning. Amen? All good things. Is sickness good? No, it's not good. It takes away from us. And so we got to understand that. So you got to submit to God, resist the devil. You got to resist sickness in your life, and sickness or poverty has to leave if you're actively, did I say the word actively? You got to actively be resisting it in your life every day. Why? Because the devil doesn't take vacations. The devil is working on your demise every day. The devil is trying to get to you. Has anybody figured that one out? Have anybody been through any problems? You know, the devil's trying to get to you. Amen. But you got God, you got the armor of God, and the armor is for the front, and there's no armor for the back, because we don't run from the devil, we run at the devil. Amen? and so we need to learn to submit to God, resist the devil. To get rid of sickness and poverty, first and foremost, you got to submit to God, and submitting to God is walking in His ways and in His will for your life. Amen. Amen. And so before you can, tell the sickness to go, if you're not truly submitted to God and you're just living kind of a little bit in the world and a little bit in God and a little bit in the world and kind of a half backslidden, lukewarm life, the devil doesn't have to listen to you. Amen. Why? Because you're serving the devil part of the time and you're serving God part of the time. And you say, I'm not serving the devil. I'm just doing what I want to do. Well, when you're doing what you want to do and you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're buddying up with the devil. Amen. And so you can't have any, there's no, In other words, there's no authority in your life if you're kind of a little bit in God and a little bit in the flesh, a little bit of sin, a little bit of righteousness. That's kind of like a lukewarm, backslidden life. And there's no power in that. So you got to be full throttle God. If you want power in your life, you got to be all in with God. You got to push all the chips in with God. You got to say, I'm all in with God. Amen. And that's how we have then the authority can come in and we can tell sickness to go when we're submitted to God. Amen. And so it says here, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. And submitted to God is walking in the Spirit of God or walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's lining yourself up with God. You're walking in God's character. When you walk in the fruit, you're walking in God's character. You're walking in the way that God wants you to walk. Amen? And then 3 John 1:2 says it this way, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. Okay, this is a powerful scripture. This is the Apostle John. And some people hate the idea, are you in a church that teaches wealth and health? And you can say yes and amen, because John taught it right here. John said, Beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper, right, and be in health. So that prosper means prosperity. That means no lack. That means that you're walking in abundance. That means that nothing missing. You're walking in shalom. You're walking in the blessings of God. That you don't have any want in your life. As Christians, we shouldn't have any want in our lives. Amen. And so John here, that was close to Jesus, one of the disciples that Jesus loved the most, amen, according to John, got the revelation from the Holy Spirit, above all things, you may prosper, above all things, above all things, above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, what's the qualifier in this? The qualifier is for you to prosper in prosperity and health, your soul has to prosper. Amen. You have to have soul prosperity. Amen. And you might say, what does that mean, Pastor? What does soul prosperity mean? That means your soul is prospering in God. That means that you're walking in the Spirit of God and you're producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That's how you have soul prosperity. When you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, glory to God. And that's how you do it, amen? And so that's soul prosperity. And I love this. And so how do we walk in the Spirit? We abide in the vine. And you say, Pastor, what does that mean to abide in the vine? Well, Jesus says it this way in John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except to abide in the vine, no more than you can, except you abide in me. And then he says here in John 5:15-8, if you abide in me and my words, there we go, underline that, if my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So John is saying here, abiding in the vine is abiding in God's word. How many people study God's word on a daily basis? Amen. And that you're in the word of God, that you're abiding in God's word. God's word is incorruptible seed. And we get that in, you got to get into the word. I'm going to say again, you got to be reading the word. You got to be studying your Bible. You got to be a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And so I'm going to say this, the devil makes dumb Christians sick. In other words, ignorant Christians get attacked more often by the devil. What's an ignorant Christian? A Christian that's ignorant of God's word. So if you're ignorant of God's word, if you don't know what God's word says about a certain subject or what the devil's attacking you on, how are you going to take advantage of that promise in your life? You can't. So if you're an ignorant Christian, you're going to be attacked more by the devil. Amen. And the word of God, if you study the word of God, it will make you less ignorant. Amen. In other words, you will be knowledgeable. And God is looking for those that are seeking Him with a whole heart and seeking His word and abiding in the vine, which means abiding in His word. Now, when you abide, see, this is the problem. You ready for the problem? The problem is when you get attacked with a symptom in your body, or when you get attacked when a problem comes your way, we have a tendency to focus on that. We have a tendency, oh man, the doctor says I have this, and then you claim it for yourself. That's what I have. I have sciatica. I have a bad knee. I have this. You claim it. Don't claim that. This is my sciatica. Why would you ever do that? Why would you claim what you don't want? This is my problem. I have an issue in this area. I just got a problem in this area. So if you keep saying you got a problem in this area, guess what? You're going to always have a problem in that area, right? If you keep saying, well, that's my problem. That's my weakness. No. The Bible says that we're supposed to look at every good thing that resides. It's the good things that we're supposed to look at that God put in us, not the bad things that we're dealing with in life. We're supposed to be focused on the good things that God has imparted in our lives. So again, we need to be focused on that. Amen. And so the problem is we tend to focus on the problem and we claim the problem in our life. But what you need to do is start claiming some word in your life. You need to start speaking some word in your life. And the word is powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, marrow and bone, judging the very intents of the heart of man. The word of God is powerful. Amen. It's more powerful than a nuclear bomb. Right. You got to believe that. And so I love this because the word of God can set you free. I'm going to say it again. You are under the anointed word of God this morning, and just being under the word of God can set you free. Do you believe that today? And I love what it says in Proverbs 4:20, verse 20 through 22. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and their health to all their flesh. Think about that. So did you catch it? Did you catch it? He says, attend to my words, incline your heart to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. The word of God is life to those that find them, and the word of God is health. Amen. Somebody say health. Yeah. Health to all your flesh. That's powerful. So the word of God can heal your body. The word of God is medicine to your body. Medicine that doesn't just covers the symptoms, it heals your body. Do you believe that today? Amen. And so the fruit of the Spirit, let's look at the fruit of the Spirit and let's dissect this and how this connects to healing in our lives. In Galatians 5:22 and 25, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And notice it says, against such there is no law. Okay. See, there's two laws working on this planet. There's the law of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. Those are two laws working on this planet. And so you as a Christian can walk under either law. You can walk under the law of life in Christ Jesus, or you can walk under the law of sin and death. Amen? And so we can walk under either law. We can disregard God's word. We can start living our own life the way we want. We can start calling our own shots. And then we will get under the law of the death, the death cycle. Or we can get under God. And I don't know about you, but I want to stay submitted and committed to God. I don't want to be going off doing my own thing. Amen. And so that's two laws. Amen. And so he says, when you're walking in the fruit, there is no law that can come against you walking in the Spirit of God. Amen. In other words, you're going to be walking in health, wholeness, soundness, preservation, protection, and eternal life. So some of you might be dealing with some infirmities today, and some of you might not. But just because you're not dealing with one today doesn't mean you may not be dealing with one tomorrow. So this message is not just only to heal those that are dealing with some today, but to keep those that are walking in health healthy. Because we want to stay healthy. We want to serve God healthy. Amen. And so I love that. So the first law of health or healing is the fruit of love. And if you separate love from your walk, then sickness will come at your door. I'm going to say again, if you start separating your love, love is two actions. We learned this through the series that there's two actions associated with love. The two actions are giving and forgiving. Can somebody say giving and forgiving? These are the two greatest actions that God revealed to us in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. And then Jesus loved the world that he gave his life to be crucified for us so that we could have a relationship with God. So that God could forgive our sins. Amen. And so really, love is giving and forgiving. I love that. And so if you're going to walk in healing, you have to be a giver. You can't be selfish, stingy, thinking just about yourself all the time. You got to be giving out. Now, giving out is a lot more than financial, but giving out, are you giving any praise to God? That's giving out. You're praising God. You're giving out to the Lord. You're praising him. Are you getting into the word? Are you witnessing? You're giving out. But also, when you give your financial blessings, when you give your tithes and your offerings, I really believe that causes God's blessings to be in your life. God blesses people that give. Amen. And it says here in Psalms 41, 1 and 3, it says, blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. Notice that. He said, those who consider the poor. You will not deliver him to the will of enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, and you will sustain him on his sick bed. Wow, that's powerful. You know, that reminds me of a man that was in Brother Hagin's church. Brother Hagin pastored for 12 years. And this man was a giver. He was a tither. He was one of the biggest givers in the church, the donors in the church. And Pastor Hagin, you know, pastored small local churches. And this giver gave almost one third of the income into the church. And this was a big giver. And Brother Hagin needed his tithes to take care of the building, to take care of all the stuff that needed to be taken care of. And Brother Hagin prayed and said, God, we need him. He's one of the greatest givers. He helps the church. And started petitioning God and asking God and letting God know what a great blessing that he was. And this man had an accident and he was on the brink of death. And God gave his life back to the man. Glory to God. He was raised up of the brink of death. Glory to God. Why? Because he was a faithful giver. He was giving into the kingdom of God. And I believe that our giving moves God in our direction. Do you believe that today? And will strengthen us and sustain us in our sickbed. The Bible says in Malachi, or the book of Malachi for the Italians out there, it says that as we tithe and give offerings, in verse 11, he says he rebukes the devourer for our sakes. And so the devourer is the devil, and he's trying to devour us. But as we're faithful in giving, the devourer is rebuked in our lives. Amen? Do you believe that today? If we're going to receive healing, we must be people that walk not only in giving, but we must walk in forgiveness. Amen. We must walk in forgiveness. I'm going to say this. The Bible says in the last days, people will be offended. The Bible is very clear. The last days, people will get offended. And somebody say, that's not me. I'm not going to get offended. And so in the last days, people will be offended. And people will get upset and offended. And we got to be very careful that we don't allow offense that turns into bitterness. And bitterness can turn into unforgiveness. And unforgiveness can cause us all kinds of problems. Amen? And so we need to understand that Jesus said this way, whenever you stand praying, right? If you have anything against anyone, this is Mark 11, 25 and 26. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. This is Mark 11. Now this was said, when Jesus said this, he was talking about speaking to your mountains, doubting not, and believing God for the impossible. But then he says this right after believing God for the impossible. So listen, if you're going to believe God for the impossible, you better learn to forgive. Amen. Because you may not see the impossible in your life if you're harboring ill will and bitterness towards people. We know this, that Jesus gave a parable about forgiveness, about a man that owed the king millions of dollars, and the king forgave him. And then there was a guy that owed that man a little bit of money, and that man did not forgive that man and put him in jail. And then the king said, bring him back. The king heard about it. And the king said in Matthew 18, 33 and 35, should you also not have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father, this is powerful. This is powerful. My heavenly Father will also do to you, to each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother of his trespasses. That's strong, Pastor. That's strong. So Jesus is saying that if you're not forgiving and you refuse to forgive people, the torturers can come against us. Amen. Who are the torturers? The demonic spirits that want to put sickness and heartache in our lives. And the torturers can come against us if we're not letting go of what people do to us. Amen. No, he that does nothing makes no mistakes. There you go. He that does nothing makes no mistakes. If you're going to do anything, especially if you're serving God, you're going to make a couple mistakes. If I make mistakes all the time. Amen. I'm not perfect. I mess up. But thank God for his grace. And thank God that I learned to repent and get back to God. Amen. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. And so don't expect other people to be perfect too. Because they make mistakes. So give some people some allowances. Because God has given you allowance. You think you're all perfect. People that don't forgive think they're perfect. You're not that perfect. You got problems too. Amen. And so other people have problems. Amen. So forgiveness of sins and healing go hand in hand. See, I'm going to say this, forgiveness of sins and healing go hand in hand. That's why God forgives us and he heals us. When there was a paralytic in Mark 2, there was a paralytic, there was a guy that was sick, he was on a stretcher, and Jesus was preaching in his house, and they were trying to get into the house to get the friends. He had four friends that wanted to help him get healed, but they couldn't get in the house because it was so crowded. Can you imagine that? And so they had to tear off the roof and drop the man down in front of Jesus. Can you believe that? That's serious faith. Serious faith. If you're tearing off the roof to get to the preacher, that's serious faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's you're not playing anymore. You're getting serious. See, God's looking for somebody to get serious with him. Are you willing to tear off the roof to get to Jesus? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get to church? Oh, it's raining today. I think I'm going to stay home. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get to God? No matter what the opposition is. I'm a little tired today. I think I'm going to sleep in. What? Get to God. You old lazy thing. Get Jesus in your life today. Don't be staying in. Come to church. Glory to God. That's where the power and the anointing is. That's where you can be set free. Some of us might need to be set free of ourselves. I'm going to say it again. Some of you are like, it's the devil. No, it's your old ugly self. That's what it is. It's the ugly man in the mirror. Amen. But you can change. Somebody say, I'm changing. Amen. So forgiveness is, and this is so interesting. The guy was dropped down in front of Jesus, and obviously the guy needed healing. And Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. and then the Pharisees said, who can forgive sins but God alone? Blasphemy, blasphemy. You know, they're always judging Jesus. But Jesus is God in the flesh. And this is proof that Jesus is God in the flesh because he can forgive sins. Jesus can forgive sins. Amen. He's a forgiven Savior. Amen. And Jesus, and it says here in Mark 2, 10 and 12, but that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all. That all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I guess they never saw a roof being tore off, a man being dropped down, a man being forgiven. So this is the key I want to talk to you about in receiving your healing. You must receive the forgiving power of God in your life. You must get the condemnation out of your life if you're going to get healing. You can't be remorseful of your past sins. You can't be focused on your past sins, because that's condemnation, and that will keep you in sickness. You must believe that God has forgiven you and that his forgiveness connects to your healing. Amen. And lots of people aren't getting healed because they're lamenting about yesterday's faults. Man, I wish I never said that. I wish I never done that. I wish I never did that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have did that. And we go over and over and rehearse it over and over. Let it go. You just got to let it go. Stop beating yourself up. Amen. God's let it go. God's willing to let it go. So you got to let it go. Amen. Say, I'm letting it go. And Psalms 103, it says here, this is powerful, 103, 2 and 3, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. And notice it says here, who forgives all your iniquities, first and foremost, he forgives. And number two, heals all your diseases. What comes first, healing or forgiveness? Forgiveness always comes first, healing always comes second. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. I love that. And so even Paul is reminding us. He said he's reminding us in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, talking about forgiving. Amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Do Christians talk like that? That's my question. He's writing to Christians. He's saying, let all bitterness. What? I don't think Christians talk like that. Obviously, we do at times. Obviously, we can talk like that. Bitterness, we can be like that. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. He's talking to saints. I thought saints don't talk like that. Every once in a while, we do. Every once in a while, we can. Because we're not perfect, and we have flesh. And pressure comes our way. And when pressure comes our way, something has to go. And sometimes we blow up and blow out. We blow a cork. Or have you ever blown a cork in here? Does anybody have a short fuse in here? You blow up real easy. Amen. And he says here, put away from you all malice, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So walking in love towards God and people, God will healing power will work in your life. If you're going to receive healing in your life, you got and divine health, you got to walk in joy. Amen. You got to have the fruit of joy. The fruit of joy comes through a heart of thanksgiving and praise. And if you're dealing with your symptom and you're all down and depressed about it and you're not getting excited, you may get stuck with that symptom and it may stay in your body. You can't allow that symptom or that doctor's report to make you sad and depressed and, oh, woe is me, Pastor. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. No, listen, you can't be rehearsing the curse. You got to be praising God for the answer. Don't exalt Job's boils. No, get excited about Jesus' stripes. Amen. Job had boils, but don't focus on Job's boils because Job got healed. Amen. Those boils left him. Amen. And by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. So the fruit of joy comes through thanksgiving. Now, we don't thank God for sickness. Oh, God, thank you for putting cancer on me. I want to thank you for putting this infirmity on me. Thank you so much that you love me so much you put this sickness on me so you can teach me something. Some preachers will teach you, do that. Just thank God for the sickness. No, don't thank God for sickness. Thank God for Jesus' stripes. Amen. You don't thank God for the problem. You thank God for the promise. Yes. We get it mixed up. Oh, thank God. Lord, you give me grace to endure this. And grace to endure this sickness. Give me the grace to endure it. No, God gives you the grace to be healed. Amen. So you don't have to endure it. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price. If Jesus paid the price, why do you have to pay a price? That's my question to you. Why do I have to pay the price? Because in Isaiah, it says in 53:4-5, surely he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So this is an example prayer that you can pray. When you're dealing with an attack on your body, you can say this: thank you, Lord, for paying the price for my healing. Thank you, Lord, you bore my griefs and sicknesses and carried my sorrows and pain. And thank you, Lord, by your stripes, I am healed. Now, if you would say that 100 times a day, what, Pastor? What, say it 100 times a day? That's a little excessive. Well, do you want to get healed? How bad do you want to get healed? How bad do you want to tear the roof off the top of the house? If you're willing to start praising God more than, can I just say it once, Pastor? Isn't that enough? No, you got to say it over and over again until you get something out of it. In other words, until God starts moving, you keep going like the Energizer Bunny. You don't quit. Amen. And what we do is we quit. Oh, I said it 3 times. The symptoms are still there. I guess God doesn't want me healed. You got to qualify for the healing. You got to have quality faith. And quality faith doesn't quit. You keep speaking and keep speaking. You get tenacious about it. Remember blind Bartimaeus? Remember blind Bartimaeus? He was there and he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him to shut up. Be quiet. The master doesn't want to hear from you. Be quiet. That's what the devil will tell you. Quiet down. You're getting too excited about the things of God. You need to be more reserved. Don't get loud in church. Don't praise God loud. Just be quiet and reserved. Don't bother anybody. No, you need to bother the devil. Your faith needs to shake the devil out of your life. Your faith needs to shake something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to get up. Blind Bartimaeus got loud and got louder. If you want your faith to work, you got to get loud and get louder. You can't be, okay, I get it. Blind Bartimaeus said, oh, I better be quiet. Maybe Jesus doesn't want me to see. No, blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus! He got louder. And guess what Jesus said? Jesus said, bring him here. And he said, oh, the master wants to see you. Why? Because he had loud faith. Do you have loud faith? That's my question to you. Do you have loud faith? Is your faith getting loud? Are you getting loud with your faith? Or if you just say, oh God, whatever you want. Whatever you want in my life, I'm okay. If you want this sickness in my life, I'm okay with it. No, no, you can't be like that. No, God will put up with what you put up with. Amen? And so you got to be praising God every day. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So when you have, when you're praising and worshiping God, amen, that will bring a merry heart. Amen. And that merry heart will heal your body. The Bible actually says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what causes God to have joy? Some of you might ask, well, how do I bring joy to God? Worship. If you want to bring joy to God, do you want to bring some joy to God? Worship. Worship Him. That brings joy to God. That's how you can bring. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. So you start worshiping God. Amen. And then you will have the strength of God in your life. Peace is another key to your healing. The fruit of peace is a key. When you get a bad doctor's report, what happens? Fear comes in. Fear tells you you're going to die. Fear says, you know, get ready for the funeral. Fear will come in. Has fear ever came into your life? Oh my God, I'm going to die. Amen. And fear will come in. But listen, the peace of God can sustain you in the bad reports of life. Do you believe that today? So to get peace, you must trust God. To get peace, you must put your trust in God. Trusting God is bringing our prayers to God and believing He's taking care of them. That's what peace is. Peace is totally, if you're not in peace today, you're not trusting God. That's bottom line. You're not trusting God. And the Bible says, trust God. It's better to trust God and believe God than to put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in the doctor. Put your trust in God. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So he's saying here, be anxious. Don't have any anxiety about the doctor's report. Bring it to prayer with thanksgiving and watch God work in your life. Peace comes by letting go of the problem and embracing the promise of God in prayer. And then if you're going to get your healing, you better walk in the fruit of patience. Because you don't always get your healing on the first prayer. I thought that God works instantaneously. I thought when I pray, it's supposed to be done just like that. Have you read the story about Daniel praying for 21 days? He prayed. But God did send the answer the first day, but there was some opposition keeping Daniel from getting the answer. Do you know you got opposition? You got opposing forces that's trying to keep you from getting the answer. That's why we got to keep standing in God no matter what. We got to allow the fruit of patience to work in our lives. Amen. And the fruit of patience is staying consistent and believing God no matter what our symptoms are telling us. In Hebrews 6:11-12, it says, and this is talking about running your race. In Hebrews, talking about running your race with God. It says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Somebody say diligence. To the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish or slack, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. How do we inherit the promises of God? Through faith and patience. It's right in the scripture. That's how you inherit the promise. It's through faith and patience. And if you have patience, the Bible says in James, and you're fortified in patience, you will lack nothing. I'm going to say this, faith tells no time. I'm going to say again, faith tells no time. You don't look at the clock when you're believing God. If you're willing to believe God forever, it won't be forever when you receive it. If you're willing to believe God forever, it will be a short amount of time when you receive it. Amen? See, it says in Hebrews, cast not, in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Because in the process of waiting, sometimes we want to cast away our confidence. I wonder if God is really hearing me. I wonder if my prayer is really working. I wonder if it's working. It's working. Don't be wondering and wandering. Because you're wondering. I wonder. You're in a world of wonder. You're in a wonder world. You don't want to be in a wonder world. Wandering and wondering. I wonder if maybe God is trying to teach me something. See, you're wondering. No, he's not trying to teach you something through this. He's trying to get you healed. Glory to God. Amen. That's powerful. And so it says here, so when you're waiting on God, you can't allow doubt to come in. You can't allow doubt to come in. And James said, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. James 1:6. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when you're doubting between the prayer and there it is, you got the patience, and in between the patience, you can't be doubting. You can't be wondering. You got to keep believing that God has healed you. Not that he's going to heal you, that he's already healed you. What, Pastor? Yes, you put your faith in the now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So this is a cliche. Doubt, do without, believe, and you shall receive. Amen? And the fruit of kindness. What is the fruit of kindness in our healing? The fruit of kindness should prompt us, while we're even dealing with issues in our life, is to pray for other people. Amen. See, if you will start praying for other people, you can get your healing. Right. I'm going to say that again. If you, in your affliction, what, Pastor? I'm the one that's dealing with it. Why do I need to go out and pray for other people? Because you reap what you sow. If you sow healing in other people's lives, you'll reap it. See, most people want to just take care of me, Pastor. I just want to be taken care of and coddled. Amen. No, get out there and pray for somebody. Amen. Amen. Because it says in James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Notice it says that, pray for one another so you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So the fruit of kindness compels us to pray for somebody that might be dealing, and pray for somebody that's dealing with the same thing you're dealing with. What? Find somebody dealing with the same thing and you pray for them and watch God heal you. Amen? The fruit of goodness produces healing in our lives. In other words, you got to keep maintaining and understanding that God is good first and foremost, and that God's good to his word, and that we need to continue to walk in the goodness of the Lord while we're receiving our healing. It says in Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not lose heart. So we must continue to do good. Amen? We must realize that believing and healing God, the next key is faithfulness. And you got to realize that God is faithful to his word. That God's not a man that he shall lie. God is faithful to his word. Listen, I found a scripture for Christian. And it says that the seed of the righteous will be mighty on the earth. And I'm standing on that scripture that Christian's going to be mighty on the earth. So God has to fulfill that promise. So a Christian is normal in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And I'm standing and believing God that the seed of the righteous is blessed and the seed of the righteous is mighty. And God has to fulfill his word. Yes, glory to God. I'm believing that. You got to find some scriptures and get so convinced that God's word is true and not let go of it. And it will surely come to pass. God is not a man that he shall lie. Amen. He's not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent.
Has he said it and will he not do it? Has he not spoken it and will he not make it good? The fruit of meekness can aid us in healing. Meekness is humility. And humility is the key. When we get under God's, when we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he will raise us up. Amen? And so humility is the key. There was a Canaanite woman that came to the disciples and Jesus in that day and said, Jesus, my daughter is vexed with a demon. Go heal her. And she kept asking. And the disciples said, send her away, Jesus. She's bothering us. They lacked a little compassion. And because we're all in stages. And then Jesus said, it's not good for me to throw the healing bread to the dogs. Do you remember that story? And then she answered and said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What am I talking about? I'm talking about she stayed humbled. She didn't get offended with Jesus. She said, oh, Jesus called me a little dog. I'm out of here. You know? No, she got humbled and said, listen, yeah, I might be a dog, but as a dog, I'll eat the crumbs from my master's table. And Jesus said, wow, you're not even willing to get offended. You're not even willing to walk away. You are tenacious. You're not letting go. See, God's looking for people that are tenacious and not letting go. And Jesus answered her and said, oh, woman, great is your faith. She wasn't even a Jew. She wasn't even under the covenant. And she got it. You're not even under the covenant. Your faith can get it when you're not even under the covenant. And he said, let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And now my final, I'm trying to close down here. I'm trying to close it down. But my key, my next one is the fruit of self-control. Self-control. You say, self-control? Yeah. God has given us the fruit of self-control. And self-control, when we're not walking in self-control, we can say the wrong things and we can do the wrong things and we can act the wrong way. When we're not under self-control, the fruit of self-control helps us guard our hearts from sins of the flesh. Amen. I'm going to say it again. The fruit of self-control helps us guard our hearts from sins of the flesh. In Proverbs 4:23 and 27 says, keep your heart with all diligence, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Amen. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. See, when we're not controlled, we're allowing wrong things to come out of our mouths. Amen? And he says here, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. See, don't be saying this, I'm never going to get healed. I'm always going to have this sickness. Don't be saying stuff like that. because you're downing your faith. No, you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Don't allow your feelings to fall in and say the wrong things. Amen? And I'm going to say this, that Christ has the power to keep us in check. Amen? Christ has the power. It says here in 2 Corinthians, either way, 5:14 and 15, New Living Translation, either way, Christ's love controls us. So God's love, another translation says, God's love constrains us. Have you ever been constrained by the love of God in here? Have you ever wanted to say something mean to somebody that did something mean to you, but you were constrained? Have you ever wanted to do something back to somebody that did something bad to you, but you stopped? You didn't do it. It was the love of God constraining you, keeping you from doing the wrong thing. You wanted to talk back. Have you ever wanted to talk back to your spouse, but you decided not to do it? Yeah. You decided why? Because it was the love of God that kept you from talking back to your spouse. It was the love of God that was keeping you. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we also died to our old life. He died for everyone, that those who receive his new life would no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So what he's saying here, if we're going to walk in the fruit of self-control, we got to die to our old life and be resurrected to a new life. If you're going to walk in self-control, You're going to have the fear of God working in your life. People that don't have the fear of God working in their life live their lives any way they want to live it. And if you don't have the fear of God in your life, what do I mean by the fear of God? An awesome, holy awe and worship and reverence and obedience to God. That's the fear of God. Awe, worship, reverence, and obedience to God. That means that you don't want to displease God. You want to please God. Amen. So when you have a healthy dose of fear of God, I don't understand people that call themselves Christians and live in sin. I don't understand that. How can a person call themselves a Christian unless they're God's working on them and trying to bring them out? But how can they profess Christianity if they're living contrary to God's word? Amen. Amen? Because I'm going to say this, your heart will condemn you when you're walking in sin. And you can't have the full love of God working in your life. And sin will do you in. Sin will open the door to disease in your life. Remember, and I'm closing here with this point, last point. Jonah, remember Jonah? Jonah lacked fear of God in his life. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach to the Ninevites, to preach to them and let them know that judgment was pending on that nation. And Jonah lacked the fear of God in his life and went the opposite direction of God's will for his life. And what happened to Jonah? He ended up getting thrown off a boat in the belly of a big fish, and he was in a bad place. And when we choose to reject God, to not walk with God, to do our own thing, then that can open the door for the enemy to work in our lives, and judgment can be at the door of our lives. But thank God Jonah repented, and he got back on track. And I'm going to say this, that you might be in a place where you're not walking with God like you need to. You might have sin in your life. I'm going to ask you, get the sin out of your life. Because if you get the sin out of your life, salvation will come into your life. Salvation, in other words, salvation is healing. Healing will come into your life. Don't allow sin to be in your life. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Because it's better to go into heaven with missing one eye than to go to hell with the entire body. Sin is bad. You don't want anything. You don't want to be anywhere near it. You want to be walking upright before God. And when you're walking upright before God, God's healing power will work in your life. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that you desire us to be healed, whole, sound, and preserved. I thank you, Lord God, that as we walk in your ways, as we walk pleasing to you, your healing power will work in our lives. And I thank you for those that are in the audience, those that are watching online, and perhaps you haven't been walking like you need to in the Lord, or maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day of salvation. So if that's you and you know you need to get right with God, just pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.